films to the mainstream media.
Blog Talk Radio.
Peace, peace. What's going on, y'all? We back for another week, Collective Minds. We got Brother Kevin, that's me, and we got Love Lachey and Mufasa. What's up, y'all?
Hey.
Hotep.
What's good?
Free the lane.
How y'all
Hotep,
doing?
Free the lane.
No doubt, no doubt. How was everybody week? What's going on? Everybody had a good week or what?
Man, my week was horrible.
Oh,
come
man.
On now.
We get right. We got to switch that up.
Let me tell y'all what happened.
Ain't no such thing.
Man, listen. I had a migraine headache. It was stressful. I've been on the go from morning to evening all week. But Friday, it's just like, man, my body just had to sit down. You know, for real, I think it got something to do with this eclipse coming up, too. I've been having crazy dreams.
Right.
Crazy dreams, migraines, visions, and all I can say, y'all, it's probably partially to do with this eclipse that's coming up, man.
Right, it's going down. A lot of people don't know.
Speaking of eclipse, I found some really, really cute eclipse T-shirts. They're not all cute, because some of them are for guys, but some really nice eclipse T-shirts. I'm going to send y'all, I'm going to let y'all look at them and see if y'all want some. I think I may end up getting myself one.
Okay, yep. That's what a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
It's an eclipse August 7th as well. Could have won. It's a solar eclipse on August 21st, which is that Monday. But then it's also a lunar eclipse on the 7th.
On the 7th, that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. That's tomorrow, exactly. That's tomorrow. Now, I don't know if it's visible here. But it's visible in a few places around the world.
What's the difference between the two?
Okay, a lunar eclipse is when the shadow of the Earth covers the moon. You got it? So you got the sun in front, the sun reflecting on the Earth, and the shadow of the Earth covers the moon. And a solar eclipse is when the moon gets in front of the sun in between the Earth. You see what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Okay, so the one that's tomorrow would be just
the one
a shadow
that's tomorrow
of
would be a lunar eclipse, right? Would be a shadow of the Earth that goes across the moon. And those are usually more common. Yeah, those are usually more common than solar eclipses. You know what I mean? Solar eclipses are just like super rare, like once in a lifetime, you know, maybe twice in a lifetime type deal.
And what again? Explain the solar eclipse one more time, the solar one.
The solar eclipse is when the moon eclipses the sun. So you have the Earth and you have the moon in front of the sun.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
I think, but yeah, the one on the 21st is, so it'll be dark for like, you know, a few minutes because the moon will be totally, it'll be a total eclipse. And it'll be totally covering the sun besides that little ring around it. So it actually make things dark during the daytime. You dig? So that's crazy.
But you seen Little Shop of Horrors, right? They had the solar eclipse of the sun. And that's how we got the plan.
Right. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it seems like to me,
it
seemed like my dream was more about the solar eclipse, because I just had this crazy dream about something mind-blowing in the sky. And this was before I even knew the eclipse was coming. And it was like something in outer space was showing us something. But I'm not going to go into details about that right now, because we got a whole other topic. We can get back on this solar eclipse stuff later.
Yeah, we probably going to have to do a show around it that week or something, so. Because there's a lot of things going on around it. But back to, I do want to say this too. Shout out to the Leos. It is Leo season, so, you know,
Leo.
You had a birthday or whatever. Shout out to the Leos. You did.
Leos. Yeah, celebrating
the
Leos.
Yeah, so yeah, we got a good discussion for y'all today, family. We talking about black empowerment movies in Hollywood and radio entertainment in general. But I'm going to let my brother Mufasa get y'all a rundown. I'm hearing some background noise. If you could mute, yeah.
Okay. And don't forget
cool.
to mention our special guest coming up too.
Yes, indeed. I'm sorry. Yes, we do have a special guest coming up. You know, St. Louis hometown comedian, veteran. You know, everybody love him. Lavelle Crawford should be tuning in and you know, joining the discussion. So stay tuned and also call us. You know, give us a call. We definitely want to hear y'all input on the you know, the topic that we discussed today. But I do want to let Mufasa go ahead and break it down. If you could, you know, read the question for the show and how we rolling. Yeah.
Well, basically, bottom line, we want to see if we can put our collective minds together and figure out how do we get more black empowering movies, music, entertainment, period, out to the mainstream. You know, we got this big movie coming up next at the beginning of next year of the Black Panther film. And, I mean, from the previews and everything, it's looking like it's going to be a solid film. And that's inspirational. See, that's the type of stuff that I feel we need to see. We need to see ourselves in a greater light. You know, we know about slavery. We've seen the slavery movies. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes just for me, y'all, I mean, it just get depressing to me after a while. And I ain't trying to forget about slavery, but, man, you know, you beat it. We beat it in the heads over and over and over again. I just need a breath of fresh air. You know what I'm saying? I get tired
right.
of seeing this. I mean, it makes me depressed. It makes me angry. So I want to see more films of us getting portrayed in a good light. You know, show us, like, we got the Supermans and the Spider-Mans now. We got the Black Panther showing us as a superhero and something more serious than, like, a black man or something like that. No knock on black man. But, you know, I want to see something serious. You know, so that's what
right.
we're trying to figure out. How can we see ourselves? We get all these guys of Egypt movies come out that show our people in European skin. You know what I'm saying? We need to be portrayed in our own movies. You know what I'm saying? You
right.
know doggone well that the majority, thanks, Sadie, for that word. I love that word, majority. The majority of them pharaohs in that time were dark skin and were black people. Now, we know after, you know, a certain time frame, you had some Caucasians or white, light-skinned people that took the throne. But, hey, that civilization, I say Egypt, but I meant to say Kemet. All in that region, we had black pharaohs, and we never see them portrayed in mainstream, you know, Hollywood or whatnot. They
right.
put our movies out, but they take our identity away. You know what I'm saying? And we need to be showing ourselves and showing our history outside of slavery. You know, we got a lot of people like Shaka Zulu. You got Mansa Musa. You got Elijah Muhammad. You got Khalid Muhammad. We got a lot of great people, great warriors that fought for black / African people, and we need to get their stories out there. So what do we need to do to get these stories out? What do we need to do to get more empowering films that make us proud out to mainstream?
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good question. And,
and
you
if
know,
you feel
I
like it's something that's keeping us back, earn that out too. But we got to come up with some solutions, y'all. We know about the problems, but we got to come up with some solutions. And what y'all think the solutions are to get this stuff out here? Go ahead, Brother King.
Right, yeah. I was just going to say, man, really the only thing is for the, you know, conscious people, we going to have our people who are aware, you know, of things, go have to, you know, pull the money together and make their own movies. You dig what I'm saying? Because Hollywood is not interested in black empowerment movies. You know, we need movies about a lot. Like, it's 1,000 stories that we can tell. Like you said, Elijah Muhammad, Marcus Garvey, Mansa Musa. You dig? All these people that, you know, we can tell their stories and do, you know, do great films, but that takes a lot of money. And the money seems to be concentrated in these, you know, big Hollywood studios. and they're using their money to fund and to fund the movies that they want to see. Because basically with movies, man, like it's so deep with movies, it's like neurocinematic. Like movies are so, it's such a powerful medium. It's America's biggest export. You dig what I'm saying? Like the most thing that we sell around the world is Hollywood movies. You dig what I'm saying? So movies are very important. It's powerful. It shapes the future. You know what I mean? It gets into your mind, your subconscious. There's just a lot of things that goes on with movies, and that's why they put so much money into it. So basically what they're doing, all that to say is they're making movies to create their future, basically create their past through the movies and also create their future. You dig what I'm saying? Like portraying, portraying the people of Kemet as white and the mummy and all these Egyptians as white people, Caucasian Europeans. Like, this is so they can, you know, rewrite history and then try to shape their own future. You know what I'm saying? So I would also say this, too. There are a lot of black people in Hollywood trying to make empowering movies, and people are doing good things. It's just that it's going to take time, but it's going to be a natural progression of us making empowering movies. Because I look at shows like The Boondocks, you know, Black Jesus. These are like shows that have been on. ATL is a good show that's out right now with Donald Glover, ATL. It has a lot of, you know, subliminal conscious messages in it. Insecure on HBO is another good show with the sister Issa Rae. You know, she dropped some jewels and she got a lot of, you know, little, you know, like I say, she throw out little subliminal subconscious tips and try to get, you know, get folks up on game. So I really do think that it's happening. It's just that it's going to take a lot of time. And plus, you know, when we're dealing with Hollywood, and probably our special guest could speak more to this, but when we're dealing with Hollywood, like, you got to get stuff cleared. You know, studio heads, it's probably some old white man signing off, you know, on a movie, so he got to be comfortable with it. You know what I'm saying? That's why I say we just going to have to do our own thing and not rely on these big Hollywood studios to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because, yeah, like I say, and then the other thing too, like a lot of our people are not, unfortunately, are not into that. Like, due to the system we in, they trying to keep their jobs, feed their family, do their thing. And under the system, it's good to make black people look bad in movies. You dig what I'm saying? Like, if you come up with some buffoon coonery stuff, yeah, you might get funded. You know what I mean? Right. They might put that out there. But if you try to come with some solid, empowering, you know, strong black family, strong black man, you know, you go get some pushback. You dig what I'm saying?
Right.
On that script, you go get some pushback. So it's going to be up to us to do our thing, try to work with each other. You dig what I'm saying? Tyler Perry got the studio down in Atlanta. You know, we got people making movies in different places and different black directors and producers. So we just got to basically affect their minds, get them the knowledge of self, you know what I mean? Get them, you know, they got to get the knowledge of self so they can put it out there and start to make those movies.
All right. Let me add this real quick, Brother Kale, to any callers that call in. When we come to you, if you don't want to comment, you know, we'll ask you if you want to say something. We'll call your number out and we'll ask you if you want to speak. If you don't want to speak, just don't say nothing. We'll put you back on hold, and you can continue to listen in. If you do want to chime in, as soon as we holler out your number, feel free to voice your opinion on what we do, on what we're discussing.
All right. Love Lachey, you there?
I think she might be.
Okay. Okay. What you think?
Yeah, because we got a call on now. Did you want to say something, or did you want to check the call?
Go ahead and check the call and see if the caller
want to
give an opinion.
Okay. Yeah, let's get the caller. Caller, you there?
Go ahead, Lovey. I'm going to let you bring him in.
314. 479. 314-479. Carlo, are you there? Carlo, are you there?
314-479. You got something to say? Say it. If not, hold your peace.
Right. And
also,
cool. If you call in and you don't get a chance to get on, maybe you have stepped away from the phone or something like that, and you want to, and you actually do want to say something, the best thing to do is to hang up and then call back so you can see your name and your number and queue again. But moving on, I understand a lot of stuff that you guys are saying, and I think, you know, I don't think the money is as big of an issue as one may think. I think we can get the money to do stuff. I think it's other things beyond money that prevents those types of movies from coming out. You know, I don't think it really have. I mean, money does play a part, but I think money is there. And I think a lot of times, especially in movies and films and stuff, you can raise money. The people that's out, that's doing it, they have the money to do it. I think
right.
Like brother Kevin said, the mindset definitely has to be there. But I think the people such as like the ones you mentioned, the main ones that are actually doing something, and as far as the black culture, like the Oprahs and the Tyler Perrys, they have the money to put it out. You know, if their mindset not right, like you say, then that's a whole other issue. But even I think we have some people that have the right mindset and may lack the money, but they can still, I think they can get the money. I think it's, the problem is still going to be from the higher ups, the power that be, the Jews that really control the, you know, the film industry and the movies and the media and things like that was put out, you know.
Right,
and
right.
So basically, I don't think it really has so much to do with the movie and all that, more so than just back to the same thing that we discussed is the system. You know, that's going to counteract
anything
that's going to empower, whether it's a movie, whether it's a song, whether it's a poem, whether it's a book, whether it's clothes, no matter what it is. You know, it's just, it's still going to boil down to that entity or that energy that's controlling the people that have the power to control it. And so I just think that's pretty much how I see it, you know.
I wasn't saying they didn't have money. Now we know they got money. What I was saying was they're not going to, you know, put the money up for those type of movies. You know what I'm saying? Just due to, like you say, the mindset. Because we know, like Oprah's a billionaire. She can definitely make empowering movies, and you know she's done some good things in Hollywood, hired black people. But one thing I do not like is Oprah is a billionaire, but she always played them old haggard looking roles in her movies. I'd be like, Oprah, come on. You know what I'm saying? Like Color Purple and this little Henry Adelax movie. You know, Oprah just be kind of downtrodden a little bit in the movies. I'd be like, Oprah, come on, show us, you know, show us shining. You know, Beloved and all these movies, like, come on, Oprah, kind of, you know. But that's just my personal opinion. I just threw that out there. But I love Oprah, though.
Yeah, she might got a little fetish, that poor life. Maybe she got a little fetish with that poor, rough life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, some maybe, but... No, I don't know. You dig, but
yeah, she might miss
the
lifetime. But I'm looking at. Even if we don't do, even if we can't get stuff on out to mainstream films, I mean, we can hit some of this stuff up on you know, cable networks or TV shows like.
Go in some,
Brother Kev, about that show that's in the works. On Amazon, I think it's called Black
Right, and right, the show on Amazon. Yeah, the show on.
That's looking like it's going to be good also.
Right, the show on Amazon that's slated to come out, I believe, next year is coming from producer Will Packer, who has done, you know, he's a black male producer in Hollywood, has done a lot of shows. Aaron Magruder from the Boondocks, the writer of the Boondocks. So they're working on a narrative about the blacks. Basically, it's like a rewrite of history to where the black people won the Civil War and got three independent states, I believe, like Louisiana, Alabama, and maybe Mississippi or Georgia, something like that. So they're working on a script where the black people have their own independent state and they have their own, you know, state and they control everything and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's supposed to be a good story to see how it come together, but I'm really interested in it because I know them brothers are aware, you know what I mean, just based on their work. And, you know, I can see them showing us in a good light. Like, it could really be, this is what I mean when I say, like, these movies predict the future, because this could actually happen one day. You know what I'm saying? It's just putting the thought and putting the energy out there in the universe to where, you know, this could actually go down sometime in the future, you know, where black people are independent, in control, you know, doing our own thing and, you know, controlling, you know, can basically controlling our welfare and our life, you know what I mean? So,
well,
and
like
that was in response. That was in response to the Confederate show that's coming on HBO where they trying to put out a show where the South won. So that was in response to that Confederate show. But go ahead, Mufasa, my bad.
I was going to say real quick what I like about that show Black America is I feel like it was inspired by what Elijah Muhammad was doing with the nation. Because that was the plan of Elijah Muhammad, was to get, you know, for blacks to take control of a few states in the south part of America. And so, you know, we're saying about people making a movie about Elijah, I do like this Black America. And I'm not sure if they're going to say it was inspired by that. I feel was inspired by what Elijah's plan was for black
America. Yeah, definitely. That makes sense. I think on some level, it's like, yeah, it was inspired by it because, you know, he was one of the first people to put that plan down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm sure, like I say, and the brothers are aware, you know what I'm saying? They are conscious or whatever. So I'm sure they know about Elijah and all these great, you know, great visionaries we had back in the day. So, yeah, that don't sound, you know, that sound right on target for real.
Now, what do you think? You think it could be some hang-ups for this Black America coming out, or do you think it's going to come on through?
No, I think it's going to come on through because I think them guys are solid. You know, they got a track record, so I don't think it's no big deal for them to, you know, get funding and to put that out. And like I say, it's with Amazon, so they independent. They just trying to, you know, get their bread. So it's like, yeah, I can see it coming out, definitely. And this is something for the mainstream. So I think it, you know, it should be put together well and, you know, visually good so the mainstream could peep it and, you know, show black people in a good light. It ain't got to be, you know, all good, but it should definitely be empowering and real, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So y'all be on the lookout for that.
I'm definitely on the lookout. You know, when it comes to that movie Black Panther that's coming out, tell me honestly, do you guys feel that it's some type of catch to the movie coming out? Because, you know, I think it's being put out by Marvel.
That's not
us that's putting that out.
Facts.
You know, that's not
Facts.
Us that's backing it financially. So do you guys Facts. Think that they just see it as a way to capitalize off of it, or do you think that the makers are just really being genuine and helping to put out, you know, helping to put out a story that's showing black people in a good light?
Yeah, I would need to see it first to determine, because that's going to be, for me, that's going to be determined by, you know, the content of the film, you know, how they do certain things and stuff like that.
Right. Well, yeah. I suspect that, you know, I think they did it because it was about time, and I think this creator, I mean, this character, the Black Panther, was created, you know, a long time ago. I think, if I want to say, maybe the 80s, 70s, 80s, by Stan Lee or whatever. So, you know, I just think, I'm just going to make it real simple. I think the movie is good. I think it's going to be empowering. But I think under the system of white supremacy, I think some racism and some negative stereotypes about black people may creep in. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of hard to make a movie outside of that paradigm. So I think overall, it will probably be a solid movie, but I think there will be, you know, some racism kind of slid in there. But I think it looks good. You know what I mean? I'm going to definitely go check it out. I know one thing they had to... on the preview, they had the brother on there in the, I think it was like a green suit, and he had the big lip plate in his mouth. You know what I mean? I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, because I, from my understanding, the lip plate is for the women, you know what I'm saying, in that particular culture. And that's like even a small percentage of people in the overall Africa who, you know, who actually do that. So, you know, but, you know, that's just one thing, but I think overall it's going to be a solid movie. I think they got some good key players in there. You know, Brian B. Jordan, you know, the one guy, Chinua, I can't say the brother's name. From 12 Years a Slave. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to pull up the cast. Yeah. Make sure we put up the cast so we sign off.
Right, right. So we can get that right.
Yeah, I'm definitely good. Because like I said, I don't know about y'all, but I haven't seen so many slavery movies. I just can't take it no more, y'all. I mean, dang, it just do something to me every time I see, like, and I got to speak my mind on this one, too. The Nat Turner movie. What was it called? What was the actual name of it?
Birth of a Nation.
I mean, even with that movie, you know, everybody was talking about how good it is, and, you know, we get some payback and this, that, and the third. Even that was depressing to me at the end. That ending was botched to me. I think they could have did that a little bit different. I mean, because to me it was like, dang, you get me all amped up, and then the way they took him out, you know what I'm saying, it was like depressing. That's how I took it. It was like depressing. Like, it just made me feel like no matter what, you still can't overcome this. You still don't fail. You know what I'm saying? I would have rather ended the movie a different way. You know what I'm saying? And then they, like, strung that part out. So that,
right, right.
That bothered me. And I know a lot of people did enjoy the movie and liked it. I ain't going to knock it. It was a good movie. It's just the ending. Man. You know, I guess it's just the warrior spirit in me that just, when I see that type of stuff, when I see us lose, I hate to see us lose, y'all.
Facts.
It bothers me. It just,
well, here go a win. Here go a win for you. Coming up, I think the brother Tariq Nasheed is doing a documentary on the Haitian Revolution called 1804. So this should be big. Because it's going to talk about the Haitian Revolution, like these people, Toussaint Louverture and Dessalines, along with the Haitian people, they defeated three national powers. Most importantly, the French defeated the French, which was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, army at the time. You dig what I'm saying? And freed themselves from slavery. And to this day, France and America and all these countries are still mad at Haiti to this day because of that revolution. And they sparked, they actually inspired Nat Turner and a few other revolts that happened, you know, on the mainland in the U.S. So, yeah, that's a win for us, baby. And it's go, I think it's going to be a powerful it's a documentary. But even with that, that documentary could turn into a movie. You dig what I'm saying? That way it visually impacts folks. And like you say, we are shown as winners. You know what I'm saying? We shown defeating big armies with guns and tanks and, you know, all this heavy weaponry and defeated them. Like, that's why I say when it comes down to it, it's really not about, you know, the Haitian show. It's really not about the military might and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's all about your mindset and your willpower and how you organize and work together. That, you know, that's how you defeat the system. So, yeah, that's look forward to that, man. It's coming out, 1804, about the Haitian Revolution. That could be a possible movie, big budget movie. You know what I'm saying?
Did y'all ever hear about they was trying to make a film about Dr. Khalid Muhammad?
No, I didn't hear about that. I know they Wesley Snipes did a film about John Henry Clark called The Long Walk Home. If people are familiar with that, yeah, he did it. This was Wesley Snipes acted in it.
Really? I didn't hear about
The Long Walk Home. Yeah. It's out. You can see it and everything.
Well,
it's out
when
on, did
it been out or it just recently came out?
Nah, it been out. I want to say it came out in the 90s, maybe early 2000s.
Man.
Yeah, it been out.
That one got past me.
Yeah. But, yeah, like I say, it's the movies are coming, you know, and slowly but surely, but I think the conscious movies are coming. And nowadays, because there's a paradigm shift and, you know, we got a lot of things disrupting the movie industry, people can make their own movies. You dig what I'm saying? Like, it really doesn't take a lot of money to actually get a short film or some visuals out to the masses. You know, you can do that on a shoestring budget nowadays, thanks to YouTube and all these other little medias. So, you know, there's been a lot of disruptive industries coming out that we can capitalize on and kind of do our own thing independently, you know, to get our own message out there. So that is a plus. And it's 7:30. I don't know if we had our guest, Love Lachey.
Yeah, 6:30.
I'm sorry. 6:30. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess while we're still waiting on that, and I would like to propose this question here also, but when it comes down to our youth, our children, I'm curious that I wonder a lot of our youth, do they even still look into the film industry? Is that something that a lot of us still inspire to get into? You know what I'm saying? Because we need youth to get into that type of thing. You know, inspiring to make these films, not just to be the actors and actresses in them, but to actually put them together, writing,
to be writers, writer, producer,
like
yeah.
Yeah,
facts. So, yeah, I mean, on that part, it's all about educating the kids and, you know, getting them knowledge of self and empowerment, you know, having them use their imagination, have them writing. You know, we should be doing all these things with our kids, encouraging them to write, read, you know, and use their imagination. So they can produce things like that. But like I said, it's going to come with planting them seeds of knowledge in them and telling them, you know, that we come from a great people and giving them our history lessons and stories. And you'd be amazed after that, they'd do the work. You know what I'm saying? once mm-hmm. they get that foundation. So that's what we need to do, you know.
Yeah, we got to inspire these babies. The babies is the future. We got to inspire these babies.
That is a fact.
And like I said, our people that's got money now, like, I mean, where are our black directors at? You know, they, like, what happened to the, you know, the Spike Lees and the Singleton Brothers, all these people that were putting out these films, are they still making movies?
Yeah,
I'm gonna do my Google game on and see what's going on with DC.
Right, right. Nah, they still out here making movies, but a lot of times they may not be making quote unquote black movies. They may just be directing movies with, you know, a white
yes.
cast or whatever. But they are still out here. You know what I'm saying? We got Spike Lee just did Chirac.
Mm-hmm.
And
did anybody see that?
And
I saw that one. Anyone of y'all see Chirac? I didn't see it.
I didn't. But and I also thought he was working on Mike Brown movie as well.
He's doing a Mike Brown.
Oh, that's
thing.
Right. I almost forgot about that.
He's doing
yeah,
a Mike Brown.
Yeah, they got a deal to do the Mike Brown movie. I think his mother sold the rights to her book to Fox Entertainment, to Fox or whatever. So that should be interesting how they're going to do that. Huh?
But even before that, I thought he had sat down with the family and stuff. And I thought
who
he was
sat down
be,
with?
Well, he did. He sat down with Mike Brown Sr.
You say? I'm sorry. You might have broke up. I mean, Love Lucia.
Spike Lee, he had sat down with Spike Lee sat down with Michael Brown Sr.
Oh, yeah, you said Spike Lee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay,
so
right.
But, he was
yeah.
Even before she sold her rights book, I thought they were already working with Lee. At least I know Sr. was.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I haven't heard anything about that, but we do know that Fox is gonna be working on the Mike Brown movie. So, you know, that's in the works.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder what happened with the situation with Spike Lee, because there definitely was a situation.
Was it confirmed they were just talking, or was anything?
Well, I don't know. If
you know, signed off on it.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if they signed off on it, but I know they did. They met and to talk and discuss him doing the movie. I'm just wondering why didn't it happen?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I do know Hollywood is one of those businesses where a lot of projects get thrown in and talked about, but you know, everything don't get made and or don't come to fruition right away, because it'd be taking years to make a lot of movies. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, the Tupac movie, took like 7-8 years to make. You know what I mean? That's start to finish, and you only probably film for 6 months. You know what I'm saying? So leading up to, yeah, you got 7.5 years leading up to, you know, actual filming a project. So, it could have been a lot of things. You know, they could still be working on it. Who knows?
I would like to see these filmmakers come out, or somebody lead the charge to say, hey, let's unify. Let's start a black director's union or something of that nature, where they can come together and put their money in a pot and start trying to build, you know, just like Hollywood did. Or, you know, you got those Indian movies, what they call those, Bollywood or Nollywood or whatnot.
Bollywood. Not Bollywood.
Yeah, I would love
Nigeria and Nollywood, yeah.
Yeah. And I would love to see directors here or American black directors come together and say, hey, look, let's come together, let's put our money and put our resources together and start putting these movies out. You know what I'm saying? I don't see why it cannot be done. You know, we've made enough steps ahead, and there's enough money out there to do it you can't do it on an individual scale, but if you come together and put it together, put your money and resource together, there's no reason why it can't be done. You know, we got to put them egos aside, because I think they got egos just like, you know, we got egos in the low scale. So I know their egos is big, but
they need
to put them egos to the side and put their money and power and resource together and say, hey, let's start a multimedia company and start putting our money behind these movies that's going to empower our people. Go ahead and make the remake to Gods of Egypt, but put black actors in there. Put black faces in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
the work that Oprah does, and with the types of movies you guys don't think the movies that she do are inspiring?
I'm gonna be honest. For me, no. And I love Oprah to death, but the movies, you know, that I can think of, were they inspiring for me? I think about Color Purple, no. I think about Beloved, no. I think about Precious. I don't know if she was in Precious, but I know she was behind it with Lee Daniels, no. Like, these types of movies I don't think inspires people. I think it shows the worst of black life. It shows us downtrodden, us, you know, getting kicked by the system, and just, you know, very depressing for me. Depressing, you know what I'm saying? So I think, I mean, you know, like I say, I love Oprah. You know, I think she's an amazing woman as far as all the things she's been able to do. But like I said, the type of movies that she makes now, they are not inspiring, in my opinion.
You feel the same way, Mufasa? You feel the same way?
Oh, we might have lost him. We can't hear you. You're on mute, brother. Mufasa. Yeah.
Yeah.
But and then she just did a recent movie about the Henrietta Lacks. About Henrietta Lacks was the lady where they Henrietta Lacks, where they used her cells to do a lot of research and discoveries, and they called them the Gila cells, and they did this without telling her family. So basically they stole this woman's cells, and her cells kept regenerating themselves, and, you know, regenerate, like she had like super cells. They just kept regenerating themselves. This is a black woman. And Oprah did the movie about that recently. And I started watching it, and I really couldn't finish it or get into it, because it was kind of, you know, a lot of anti-blackness, showed her family in kind of a weird light, you know, as far as them battling back and forth with trying to get the funds from the hospital and get, you know, what was due to them or whatever. And then the story was really about the author who wrote the book. It was actually based on this white female author who wrote the book about Henrietta Lacks, and basically her trying to interview the family and get stories. So it was Oprah played Henrietta Lacks' daughter. So it was the white female reporter and Oprah's, which was Henrietta Lacks' daughter. Their relationship, you know, was the main theme of the movie. You know what I'm saying, if that makes sense. So it was all right. I just couldn't, you know, was all right, really get into it like that. So, you know, those movies that, like I say, Oprah makes don't
You feel the same way?
Yeah, you have to repeat that. I had to step away for a second, y'all.
As far as the Oprah's movies and things like that, you don't deem those to be powerful movies for the you know, for the culture. But
name one.
We just did a list, but I already know you're gonna probably feel the same way as Brother Kevin. So let's bring in our special guest and see what he has to say too. Hello. Hey.
Hello.
Peace.
Mr. Crawford, how you doing?
I'm good, man. What's going on? How y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing pretty good. Go ahead.
All right.
I ain't know if y'all talking to me or not. I was making sure.
Oh, yeah. We talking to you. Oh, so just for the listeners know, we do have our special guest in the building, Mr. Lavelle Crawford. He's doing his thing. St. Louis hometown native, you know, comedy legend, hilarious. So before we get started on the topic and the discussion we have in Lavelle, can you share what you got going? Hey, if somebody can mute their phone real quick, we get some feedback. Can you mute your phone?
I'm going on the elevator, man. That might be the elevator.
Oh, okay. Ah, no problem, no problem. So, Lavelle, just tell us what you...
I'm going to the car, but I got to show up in Jacksonville tonight, so give me one second.
Okay, gotcha, okay. Well, while you give us a second, we appreciate Lavelle coming on, and we're going to have him dive into the discussion, but before we do... we just wanted him to tell us what he got going on. I heard there's a big show coming up in St. Louis area this weekend. So if he could fill us in on what he got coming up.
Yeah, man.
Breaking up.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you now, loud and clear.
Okay. Yeah, I'm doing a Showtime special, another special, and I'm doing it right in St. Louis. I haven't been in St. Louis performing in a minute, so I'm back in St. Louis to do another special. I'm doing it at the Pageant Theater this Saturday coming up, and I can't wait, man.
Okay.
It's called Home for the Holidays. I'm doing it. It's all about holidays and, you know, how we get down on holidays, St. Louis style and the Mel Crawford style.
Yes, sir. We looking forward to that. And it's all about the holidays. Also, congratulations on your weight loss. So how you going to celebrate the holidays without eating up everything? You know what I'm saying? Because I know you lost the weight.
I ain't eat up everything then. So it is what it is.
All right. Cool.
But I had to drop the weight, man. You know, I was about to die. You know how it is. You know, I wasn't ready to die, you know. I mean,
yes,
Jesus
sir.
Died 3 days later. He came back. So, you know, it must not be fun to be dead, you know.
Right.
Lavelle, I got to tell you, this brother Mufasa here, man. You know, and I'm congratulating you, too. I'm a big man myself. We miss you, brother, but we know you had to do what you had to do. But we miss you on this side, man. We miss you on this side. But keep inspiring us, man. We appreciate you.
Hey, my brother,
let me tell you something.
Look, I lost weight, but I did not. I still got fat tendency. Trust me. I don't do no extra stuff, jumping up steps and jumping off steps. I always test the chair before I sit down. You know what I'm saying? I always see what kind of specials they got on the value meal. I'm still there, baby. But I just, I want to live for my children, man. You know, I want to be around. So I just, you
I
know,
heard
I had that. To do something.
Indeed. All right. So, yeah, let's get into the discussion. So, Lavelle, by you being in the industry and being, you know, in Hollywood and working on movies and films and shows and all that, how difficult is it for, you know, black people to, one, make empowering movies and, two, to get them out to the mainstream? You know what I'm saying? Like, how difficult is that for black people or black artists, writers, producers, comedians to break the industry and do some empowering stuff for black people?
Well, it's dangerous, man. It's a dangerous balance to be, you know, in that game, because being black, if you write a movie about all black and it's all, and it, even if it's black inspiring, and even though everybody know our plight, they don't want to hear about our plight. We can hear about Schindler's List. You can hear about, you know, every other, the mafia and all the other people that went through their little struggle. But when we start doing that, why we got another slave movie? Why we got, you know, like Detroit coming out? Now, I didn't know nothing about the Algiers Hotel till this movie came out. And,
right.
And the strange thing about it, our history is hidden from us so much. So when we do get some, it's kind of dangerous. We teeter-totter on a dangerous level because, you know, one, we want to get the box office sales. Number two, we want to get our message out to people. Number three, we want everybody to go watch it. But in the same vein, if we're too preachy, the black folk ain't going to go watch it. If it's too black, you know, the mainstream ain't going to go watch it. And, you know, and so it's rough because one thing that we got to always remember about movies, they have to be entertaining at first. So if we could have, like,
right.
somebody have black superpowers who was helping free the slaves, and, you know, and then, you know, and it had a little comedy and a little horror, and it, you know, and he dated a white girl, we'd be good, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it don't never end up like that because we got to dip in every different pocket to win over people. So I always say it this, you just got to shoot your dice the way you shoot them. You know, if you ever play
yes,
dice, just let them roll. Whatever you hit, you
yes,
hit the crap, snake eyes, or you hit that nine, get a roll again. If you hit a seven right off the bat, you get another two hitting. So you just
yes,
got to go for what you know. Like my man from wrote the movie Get Out. I mean,
Get Out, right?
When you watch that movie, it affects you in so many ways because it's a horror film, but it's also a film that addresses some of our innate horrors that we have being around people that are not black. And then you be
right.
around black people who don't act black. So you be thinking, dang, is this Negro's mind taking over?
Right.
What's going
right,
on?
Right.
Where he go?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It really triggers a lot of... He took a chance, but it wound up being a hell of a chance. I mean, because at least he didn't dub it as a... And I think the way I look at it is you can't dub a movie as an empowering movie. Just dub a movie as a movie and let them ride on what they want to think. He said, man, I just made a movie. I didn't make it for this.
Right.
I didn't make it for that. I just made a movie. And that's exactly what he said because he made a horror movie. He wanted to make his own horror movie. So that got everybody on board. But when it came out, he was like, dang, that was super horrifying. But it was also
right.
interesting. So
yeah.
I think when you do movies – I think you can't worry about pleasing everybody, but you just got to please yourself. Make sure your art is correct and it's creative and it's your vision. And I think that's the only thing you can ride on. It's just like me being a stand-up. I can't go on stage and please everybody. Somebody going to say something. Somebody ain't going to like what I'm talking about. Somebody ain't get it. You know what I'm saying? So
right,
just,
right, yeah.
Got to do you. That's all. That's the greatest artist in the world. Did them. Prince. He did him. Michael Jackson did
Facts.
Them. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
They did them. So, Rudy Ray Moore did him. You know?
Did him, yes,
he
sir.
He used his own money. Probably one of the most prolific filmmakers and artists in the game because he took his money and turned it into a multi-million-dollar empire off of little money he put together selling them little DVDs, these little videos he would make. So.
Yeah, and I think, you brought up some good points because I think now, like, a lot of the power is in our hands. Like, all we got to do, like you say, is just do the do and make the movies, you know, that inspire us and get us going. And like you say, it got to be entertaining first. So that's the thing with a movie. You have to entertain first and foremost, you know what I'm saying,
sure.
to get people in those seats, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's
yeah, because like
point.
I do the Tom Joyner Morning Show every Tuesday and Friday now, you know. And one thing, Tom, who's a legend in radio, he said we want to entertain, but we also want to inform. So it's the infotainment.
Exactly.
Know? We're informing and giving people the news. We let them know what's going on in the area, but we also want to keep the levity and keep them, you know, you don't want to bog them down with pain and struggle. Oh, because if you keep giving people that the depression, that's how they're going to live, and they're going to believe there's no way out. You got to give, you got to get a source. You got to give the pain and the remedy. You can't, it's just like
the balance, right?
The documentary's talking about how bad the food is, how eating meat. Like, I watched this one on Netflix called What the Hell. Now it make me want to give up Chick-fil-A. Now it want me to make me, and I'm just telling me all these things. It's telling you what it, why it's doing this, but it's not giving you any remedies on how to solve it, but be a vegetarian. And how what vegetables gonna make me feel like I'm being sustained? So you know, it's just, you got to be careful. You teeter totter. It's a teeter totter. It's like being on a seesaw. You don't know. You know.
Yeah.
Just gotta find
you
your
gotta
way,
balance.
Find your way.
Yeah, you gotta find that balance. That Mayat. That balance.
Mm-hmm. And see, the dangerous thing is now that books. You can write a book and people read it when they want to. See, a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You people gonna catch that when they ready. You know, if you got it out there, you want it to sell, you're gonna have at least 3/4 of the people, from 2/3 to 3/4 of the people watching it. So they want to know what the hell you talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Mufasa, you got a question for LaVere?
Yeah, I was gonna say, LaVere, with a movie like this Black Panther movie that's coming out with Marvel. We touched on this earlier. Do you think that Marvel is just seeing an opportunity to cash in? So like you said, it's going to be edutainment, or well, that's probably going to be more entertaining. But do you think they're just seeing a way to cash in, or is Marvel kind of interested in trying to put and help Black people put out more of a positive image to portray us in a better light? What's your take on that movie that's coming out?
Well, I mean, you know it's the cash in. I mean, it ain't. I mean, if Black Panther was basically a subtext in the movie, which he wind up being interesting, you know what I'm saying? He was going up against Captain America and Iron Man, and he was doing his thing, and he looked good. And they gave him a chance to blow up, because he could have easily in the Avengers Civil War been just an afterthought. But he wind up being cold, you know. I mean, man, he kept jumping on cars, out running out and grabbing Iron Man, throwing him down. So I think you can't grasp the stars by trying to figure out what Marvel did, because Marvel can do whatever they want to do, because Black Panther is basically a fictional character anyway. But if it uplifted, it's uplifted just along him being, thank God he's black, because how many black superhero, black heroines like Cleopatra is portrayed by somebody other than a black person. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
He could have had a white boy raised in Africa, and he became a black panther because he got bit by radioactive.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
What I'm hoping is this will open the door to more movies like that. And also, like, I'm a fan of Margaret Gordon. I'm wondering how, or when will that ever happen, where we can put out a movie about Marcus Garvey? Because I think that'll be a good movie, and I think it'll hold the interest of not just black people, but people abroad.
I'm sure it would, because Marcus Garvey has a heck of a story. But I think the whole dangerous thing about anything is, you know, you want to give people entertainment, but you don't want to give them an idea. Because Marcus Garvey did something back when he did it was so powerful. I mean, they got to put it out there. Netflix is a great vehicle now to put things out that not only would get out there. Look at Luke Cage. Luke Cage, superhero Power Man. A lot of people didn't know nothing about Power Man. They put Power Man out better before they put out Iron Fist, which they were in fictional characters. They were comrades. They were boys. You know what I'm saying? If you read the script, it was them, Black Falcon, and Power Man, and Iron Fist. They was all together, you know, fighting back in the 70s with platform shoes, you know what I'm saying, Afro. So when Marvel, when Luke Cage out there, man, it was a great series. I mean, he was brought in by Jessica Jones, which I never even heard of Jessica Jones until I watched that. So
Right.
So in that
yeah.
same vein, I think it just needs to be put out there. You got to. There's a lot of vehicles now. It's not just movie scenes. You can put it on Crackle, Hulu, Netflix.
Right.
They got so many ways of getting Marcus Garvey's story out. All you have to do is find the right people, get the right actors, and put it out there. And I think it will get to the masses the way it don't get to them. Because I think Netflix is so powerful that you can watch it anytime you want to.
Right. And in particular, go ahead.
We was talking about the movie like Gods of Egypt, where you see these movies that we know that's our people in these movies, but they portrayed in with white people. Have you heard of any type of talk with black filmmakers now or people that's in position, our people that's in position? Have they made any talks of coming together to put that resources, money together to try to start making moves like that to show us?
You're talking on the ground level. When we young and we inspire, we talk about that level. But when they get up there and one of these guys make some money, I think that they don't become a group anymore until they either fall off or they
that's deep.
They want to, everybody wants to be a star. Even the director or the writer wants to be a star in his own way. So he's trying to get an Oscar. We so worried about an Oscar or Emmy. We don't even realize when we got them opportunities to put things on that are important. Like John Singleton did his best. He did his best, but once they get to a certain level, they start attempting to do other things besides black things because they get people talking in their
right.
ear. Why are you just doing things
right.
about the hood and Compton? That's what I know. That's what I want to talk about. But then, like Spike Lee, he jump up and do the 25th hour, and he started doing everything else. Like he did the old me, was that Old Boy, which was something that I wish I would have never watched because it was so gut wrenching.
Yeah, he did the Son of Sam, the Son of Sam. He did the Son of Sam.
Yeah, so he touched on but he touched on a lot of things. So they want to start blending in, which, dilutes you. And I think you should just do what you want to do. Once you get that notoriety, you have the power at least to drive around. And I wish directors, writers, and all that would come together and start unifying and make great movies because we get lost in the shuffle. Black actors get lost in the shuffle. They get lost so fast because you only have so many opportunities. If you don't get it on the crossover, you don't get it at all. And, it's
right.
down to the people that get lost in the wayside because they always want to throw a click in there. Everybody click,
right.
click, instead of finding the talent and put it out there before they grab it and dilute it,
Indeed. Now, by you being an actor, LaVille, let me ask you this. Now, tell us, because we see a lot of, a lot of roles for black men, right? And a lot of people critique when the black men wear dresses or do something over the top or, may play a gay role. So I want to ask you, are there any roles that are off limit to LaVille, like just a character that you say, nah, I just won't play that just because this is me? You know what I'm saying? Like any roles that you just wouldn't take or play in a movie?
I think I'm being a comedian. I mean, I'm already over the top, so me going on a dress would be a waste of time.
Right.
I don't like that doing that. Now, I ain't past playing a white dude as a black man. I don't mind doing that.
Right.
Other imagery where, I love to play a villain. I love to play things like that. But, those movies, them things, I think that I'm a creative person. And I think when something been overdone, I think I'm wasting my time. Why I gotta, if I'm gonna play a dope dealer, it's gotta be a dope dealer with a heart,
Selling drugs
to the white kids, bringing the money back to the black kids, being the black
right,
being the fan,
right,
something
right.
different. Something off the
yeah.
top, you know what I'm saying?
And then they
try to test you, and try to feed you this little bull crap, to make you think that if you don't do this, you're gonna that's so untrue. It's not, but the thing about me is it's so crazy. It's like, you know, I believe in the Most High. I believe in God, and I know God directed my path in a lot of things because
right.
I only got to do a few black things, but I've been on a lot of, you know, mainstream from Breaking Bad, the Crazy Ones,
right.
the America mm-hmm. Ultra, the Mike and Daly Wedding Dates. So I've done, and I am not your normal crossover black comedian. I'm black
right.
all day, St. Louis to the ground of my heart. You understand? So
facts,
you know, you come
facts.
To me, I'm gonna cuss your. I went to a majority white school, but when I was in school, I was still Black LaVille.
facts, yes sir. Indeed.
So,
that's good to
so,
know. That's good to know that you at least you do have some type of standards and just won't take any role, you know, kind of
yeah,
just thrown at you. You're conscious
understand.
Of it.
But the other thing is, too, is you got to be an intellectual to a point of you start weighing up because they're going to only show the negative side of some things anyway. And sometimes your people won't know. But what you're really doing until you explain it to them. And a lot of times,
right.
you know, Martin jumped up. He did the whole dress thing. Tyler Perry did the whole dress thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
they made a lot of money doing it. But in the subsidiary of those mind frames, you got to understand, you got that Tyler Perry did it, and he won off of doing it from his plays and stuff. Martin did Big Mama House. Martin was running down the street with a knit cap on, with a gun, and saying they after me, and then all of a sudden
right.
dressing up as a woman. So we don't
right.
know what the hell went on. You know, we don't know
right.
if that was Martin or it was somebody from the movie Get Out before Get Out came out. So
right.
So
yes,
so,
sir.
I don't know. You know, it's a strange world. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
that is fine.
But I don't crush nobody for what choices they make. Because the one thing,
mm-hmm.
the sad thing about our black people is if we learn how to support and not judge before we you know, because you'll see more black people on Twitter when you trip and fall. They
right.
they'll dog your ass out.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Fast.
Oh, yeah.
But when
yeah,
you win it,
yeah.
they don't want to say nothing about you. It's just like when I lost weight. There's more people coming. Yeah, don't go back. Yeah, the man think he out there. Cause I'm not. I was fat for 48 years.
Right.
And I
yes,
said, when you know, and I enjoyed it. But when my heart started flipping and I couldn't breathe walking up one flight of steps, it's time to get your shit together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know.
Right.
And,
yes, sir.
And so, but you got. You can't please everybody, and that's one thing that I say to any young actor. Hey, you know, if you want to play that gay role, good luck with you, but don't be force fed into crap that's gonna be your last gig. Like Wesley,
exactly.
Wesley Snipes, when he did the two Wong Fu,
right.
You know what I'm saying? This nigga was Blade. You know, and I hope I'm sorry if I'm cussing and saying something derogatory, but he was Blade. And then he
right.
was chopping up, killing white vampires, killed a white
yeah.
vampire. Then all of a sudden,
right.
he dressed up with makeup on in the miniskirt. And he too damn ugly
yeah.
to be in that anyway.
Yeah.
So why would you even think about putting on a dress? I mean,
yeah.
you know, if he was good looking, Eric Benet dressed up in the dress, I'd be like, all right, you know. I mean, he dressed up pretty tall, too. You know?
They could have put Prince in that role.
You say
I'm sorry,
Prince?
What'd you say?
Yeah,
oh,
Prince.
Right with all he had the outfit, but Prince was such a man though. You couldn't even call him out because all the bad women he been with. And he got on that blouse. That blouse, I was like, damn, I want that blouse. Prince made lingerie on dudes, sexy as hell. I was like, man, I need that blouse. I need them high heels. I'm gonna wear that jumpsuit. I think I'm gonna wear that jumpsuit. So,
you know,
yes, sir. Prince was a legend.
So on the reality, Prince was so hard and so innovative. His way he did things, it just was a different story. But like you look at Wesley Snipes. He did that. That was down at the end of his career. He did that.
Yeah.
But Patrick Swayze was still roadhousing, round kicking.
Right.
Everybody
right.
else still a star.
Yeah.
What was
yes,
the same room that you grew up in, baby?
I grew up in
we gonna come back out after what, the first show or?
I grew up in Maryland Heights, but I lived in Paisdale majority of my life, right from Normandy High School, but I went to Pattville. I was a D shed student.
Okay.
No doubt.
And your travels, and I mean, I know you, yeah. So you know how St. Louis is. In your travels out the country, do you find better places? Like, say if you're a black person, you want to move around black people that are trying to do something. You know, that's running the country, running the government or whatnot. In other words, do you see better places out the country that are more better for black people? That's not as a place that's not as racist and has such a racial overturn as we got here in St. Louis?
Well, man, I look at it like this. It's always the deal with the racism you're familiar with. You know what I'm saying? Because you get somewhere else, you don't even know how they feel about you because you don't know what they're saying about you. Their language might be different. Their way of different. You don't know what their tolerance is. I know for a fact, actor Terry Crews, when he was in Africa, he was in South Africa doing a movie. He was in there working out in the gym, and a few of the white South Africans, you know, thought he was from there and tried him, you know what I'm saying? And he was very distraught on how he thought he didn't think that they would treat him that way. He was shocked, you know, and he was ready to fight, ready to go to blows, but the thing about it is you thinking like, I go back to the motherland, but you don't know part of motherland you love them, because I got African friends, but then I know some Africans that treat you like goat ass, you know what I'm saying? They make you feel like you ain't important, you know what I'm saying? You from America, you deluded, you try to make you feel like you ain't you. So I say, you stick with the races that you know. You can go to other countries, and sometimes, like, I've been to where I was, you know, I've been to a few places. I went to England a couple of times, Germany, and Germany, you know, they were very nice and considerate, you know what I'm saying? And, I mean, you can find your mark, but I think you got to know where you at all the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to read up, you got to find out, because it's something, some signal they didn't put out on black people to the point where everyone has their judgment. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everyone has their idea of what we are, or what kind of person or creature we are, which is insane. But
right. Remember remember recently, not to cut you off, LaBelle, but remember recently Jamie Foxx was over in Yugoslavia somewhere or Ukraine. And he had the incident in the restaurant. Jamie Foxx had the incident in the restaurant where the they was calling him a nigga in their language.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, yeah, man, you know, I mean, hell, that's what I say. Know your racism. And the thing, and that's the truest thing I can say is you can go somewhere else, and trust me, like Paris and France, they – you know, they're more a little laid back, but they don't like nobody in America. So that's one thing about it. They don't like white Americans, so it don't matter. But
right.
I think I was in Turkey, and I was treated like ass juice, you know. And but I realized the Turkish treat everybody like ass juice, so I didn't feel as bad. Now, I was in Jordan, and the people, they was cool, but, you know, they thought everybody was a terrorist. So, you know, because Nigeria was right across, like 20 miles away. So everywhere you went, you had to be patted down from the 7-Eleven to your toilet. You had to put your stuff through a metal detector, you know. So
when it comes down to inside of the United States, do you look at, like, Atlanta is still being like the black Mecca, or is it other places throughout the country where you see black people unifying it?
Yeah. Now, say that one more time, bro. I didn't hear it totally. You said it in the United States, the black.
Yeah, I was saying when it comes down to the country, like inside of the state, do you look at look at Atlanta as still being like a black Mecca, or do you look at other cities that's coming up to unifying black people Because, you know, even with Atlanta, I see so much, like, you know, gay stuff and boo-gazy stuff, I'm like, Atlanta ain't for me.
No, Atlanta to me is a black. Yeah, Atlanta is basically a petri dish for a white America. I can't see where that's a mecca for a black America. Not at all. Now, you got cities that subjugated and strong like Baltimore, Washington, D.C., you know, even Detroit has its, you know, has its pluses. I don't think, you know, I mean, and then, believe it or not, some places down south are more comfortable. I didn't met sweeter and better people in Mississippi than I did in Atlanta. So, you know, so when you say Atlanta, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean,
it ain't the business, and I ain't got nothing against homosexuals because the things I said on Vlad TV, I got in trouble for, so my views are people to myself, you know. So,
yes.
But in the retrospect, I don't know what's going on because people go down there that ain't even gay, just normal folk. Next thing you know, they say, "Yeah, I just tried it and it wasn't bad," and I know damn well.
Nah,
that ain't something you sample. I don't care who you is.
Right, right. No sir. Once you go back, ain't no turning back on that one.
Baltimore, Detroit.
You got brothers doing black businesses. You got them. You know, entrepreneurs, you know, I mean, yeah, Baltimore, I mean, those are black cities, man. When they came there with that bull crap and hurting the brothers, Baltimore came out so deep on their ass, you know, that ride scared the hell out of them people, folks, you know. And I like that. That was unity, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I look at it like people standing up because, you know, you always got people want, yeah, we need to turn together. We need to, you know. I mean, I lost all of that damn track.
And we have time for one caller. Lavelle, you can hold on. I want to see if maybe we can take a call. And go ahead and wrap it up. Hold on. We're going to take a call from 314-381. Caller, are you there? 314-381.
Yeah, I'm here. You know, I was listening to people talk about, St. Louis. Hey, how? The biggest terrorists in North St. Louis are blacks themselves. It ain't white folks.
Well, who created the condition for them to terrorize themselves?
It's not rather
How do you get funneled into a area where you don't have limited resources? How is one race funneled into an area with limited resources?
Blacks live in North St. Louis, in North St. Louis County, because they prefer to live there. You have some black. Well, you just put it like this. You have African immigrants that live all in South St. Louis, and they just as black as Wesley Snipes.
Correct. Are you aware about how the suburbs were created and black people were strategically kept out of from buying homes in the suburbs in the 40s and 50s?
No, blacks were not kept. Well, blacks was in Kenlock. Black was in Robinson. Blacks
was in
Meacham
Clayton.
Blacks was in certain areas.
Hey, can I add something to this?
Yo, go ahead, Lavelle. I'm sorry.
First of all, let me ask you something. How in the hell can a black person be considered a terrorist? I mean, how are we a terrorist? We don't blow up shit. We don't do nothing in that area to do that. How can we?
Well, I explained to you. When you have elderly blacks, that have moved in certain areas and they can't no longer walk out on the street after dinner with the husband and wife. When they're terrorists or running gun battles, now you got this thing of cars running into people's houses. That's how they're being terrorized. Knockout game.
Okay, so basically you saying that they are mainly the terrorists, but okay, in the same forefront, white kids been knocking people out. They started to knock out.
There's no white kids in North St. Louis knocking nobody out. I haven't seen whites in North St. Louis since Tucker.
Well, you ain't living. Because they moving, their gentrification is coming all through North St. Louis, brother. I don't know what.
That's lately. I'm talking
exactly.
about it. That has
okay.
been. The gentrification is in downtown. There's no gentrification in North St. Louis.
The gentrification is North St. Louis, pays down,
where?
All over the place.
Where?
It's New City and all that. Oh, I'm telling you.
U City is Central Corridor. U City is right on Delma. Where in North St. Louis, North County, is there gentrification?
You got it. All the free Goodfellas.
I'm going to name you areas. Delwood. Let me name you areas. Berkeley, Delwood, Moline Acres, Bell Fountain. Hang on. Spanish Lake, Pine Lawn, Hillsdale.
You think Mike Brown was a mistake?
Ferguson.
Mike Brown was a reacher so they could start a riot so they could get us out of there. That's what they're doing.
Right.
But
what I'm saying is this, is that the terrorizing that's going on in those areas that I've named is caused by black people themselves.
I don't condone no black kids knocking no old people out. I don't condone
right.
black people terrorizing each other. I do not condone
right.
it. Let me get that clear
no.
right off the bat.
Exactly.
Let me just say
exactly.
Nobody
just say
said
this,
you condone it.
Terrorism.
Hang on for a second,
terrorism.
Man. Can we talk one at a time, please? I didn't say you condone it.
I'm telling you what I
know and I experience. I've had family that's lived in these areas. I have had families that's lived in these areas since the 20s or even before. And I know what goes on in these areas. I know what goes on in the schools, too.
Do you think it has something to do with that St. Louis is one of the most segregated cities in America? You think that has something to do with it? And if you put any poor people in any position are going to struggle with each other and fight for resources.
St. Louis is de facto segregation, not de jure segregation. People move in those areas because they want to. And they got
no,
a right
sir.
To live amongst black people.
No, sir. There are still places.
Let me ask
you. You saying things to get a rise out of people. I realize that.
Oh, yeah, that's what he's doing.
No,
exactly.
Tell me where
exactly.
in North St. Louis, where in North County cannot black people live?
Just that new age. Of
one at a time. Hold on. Here we go. Let's get some control.
Listen, I've lived in this area.
Carla.
I built.
Hold on one second, Carla. Let me help you out. Because I'm partially on your side.
Okay.
Because. My co-host know that I have a problem. I love black people. I love black people, but I have a problem with what I call the niggas, manufactured niggas. And what you talking about is niggas that terrorize black community. So I'm with you on it. I understand where you're coming from. We have a nigga problem that we have to deal with. You understand what I'm saying?
You are absolutely right. When you put the term out there, our people, that ain't my people.
Right. So am I with you? Is that pretty much what you were trying to voice? That
well, yeah, you're right on time. See, all blacks are not the same, quote unquote. They wasn't
the
same.
You didn't say that, bro. Didn't say that off the bat. Now you're changing your tune now.
Right. You
but you wasn't saying that. That's why we got into this argument.
I had to help him out because I saw y'all was ready to get him. So I had to help him out.
No, I don't. Ain't nobody getting ready to get me. I'm telling you what is the reality. The problems that you experienced. You got music going on and people talking.
I'm at a show. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to wrap it up because I got to get up on stage, man. I'm sorry.
I appreciate you, LaVille.
All right, we appreciate you, LaVille. We appreciate
Hang
you coming on,
man.
And thank you. And we'll plug
you,
the
man.
Show for next week at the pageant. Thank you.
I appreciate that, bro. Thank you.
All right, bro. Yep, peace. Have a good show.
Thank you.
I understand where the caller coming from with that. You know, I agree with him to a certain degree. You know, like I say,
I didn't mean to cut you off, but go ahead, move on.
You talk over everybody, brother.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
have
I do. This
that,
is my show.
That problem,
that's,
in
house. Well, you can't have a show by yourself now, can you? It's not very informative.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead, Carla. What else did you want? What you want to say?
No, I just wanted to put those out. And then you got these ratchet organizations. That's just as bad. NAACP. When you know you need school choice, they totally against it. When you complain, see, here's the thing. For instance, like Donald Trump. Donald Trump want to constrain immigration. I hear blacks complain all the time about the dollar don't stay in their community. Well, hell, if you got people from the Middle East that's opening up these convenience gas marks where you're spending your money, they don't spend the money in North St. Louis. You don't see no Arab standing at the red light intersection with pots, pans, and buckets begging for money. So they are taking the money out of the community. But when you have a president that want to restrict immigration, want to cut down on visas, you go against him. I mean, you can't have it both ways.
He's not doing that. No, he's not doing that to empower black folk. He has another agenda. And I don't think you understand the system of white supremacy and how it works, which is why you sound a little
black
confused.
Let me
about
say something here. Blacks
on.
Say they want to have their own towns, right? They don't want to have their own place. Nixon made that possible with two places: Warren County, North Carolina, a place called Soul City, and another place there in South Carolina called Freedom Town. Nixon put millions of dollars in those areas
so
blacks
serious?
Could have
two
their
towns?
Own city.
Are you serious?
Well, I can name a lot of them, but just look at this. In Tulsa, in Oklahoma,
and
you got 25
I can name a lot
settlements.
Of them too. And who came in and terrorized those communities and got black people
nobody
to relocate?
Nobody terrorized.
Who came in?
Nobody
terrorized Black Wall
Nobody terrorized Soul City.
Nobody
Soul City is still
Wilmington,
there.
Wilmington, North Carolina.
You
nobody
have 25
Rosewood.
You have 25 settlements that's still there
serious?
In Oklahoma, and you have a
nobody
mayor that goes around the county.
People?
You have
look
a mayor that's going around trying to get people.
Over,
well, yeah, whites
did
terrorize them. What you going to do about
okay.
it? Now, let me finish
okay.
this. Let me finish
Thank
this.
You.
As I said before, you got 25 settlements in Oklahoma, one being Taft, that has infrastructure and everything. Nobody wants to move there.
Where is this at again?
Taft, Oklahoma. Brooklyn, Illinois. Venice, Illinois. Allenworth, California. Those are all black towns. They still there today. Eaton, Florida. Blacks don't want to live in those places and under
now,
those arrangements. Nobody's stopping
why
them.
Why do you think that's the case?
Because they consider themselves as American citizens.
Mm-hmm. So why would that make them not want to live in those type of places, the ones that you're naming?
Pardon me?
So why would that make black people like not want to live in these places that you're naming?
Because they are happy and satisfied where they live today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're happy
right,
living
well, we
in Prince
George.
We
have a couple
George.
Minutes to the live stream.
They
and,
happy living in Prince George
call,
County.
Bro.
They happy living in Dendera, California. They happy living in those places that they're in. That's their prerogative.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay, thank you,
okay.
Colin.
Thank you.
Right on, Colin. Appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, we got a couple minutes to the live stream.
I disagree with that. So I think, you know, I don't think that people are in those neighborhoods just because they want to be there, you know.
Right.
Not the wholeness of it. You know, some stuff that's in place. You know, I'm sure people will want to live better and pleasant.
Yeah,
you know?
There's a lot of things in play. Exactly. There's a lot of things in play. Don't get me wrong. Everybody bears some responsibility. But we know, you know, due to the system, that there's a lot of things in place, redlining, economic deprivation. Like, it's just a lot of things that go on. And when you're in a situation like that, yes, you're going to terrorize and harm the people closest to you, unfortunately. This is what people do all over the world. If it was any other race in the position of black people, they would do the same thing. Like, this is not nothing that unique to black people. It's because we're struggling to find an identity. We're trying to find out who we are, our history, what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, we have a lot of things that we're dealing with. And this causes the behavior that you see. Like, it's not rocket science.
Yeah, we
know what I'm saying. So you don't have to blame. Yeah, we get ready to wrap it up. But,
catch us next week, y'all. Collective Minds Radio. Call in. Check us back.
Yeah. Check us back. Should be a good show next week.
Come check us out at the pageant Saturday.
Yes.
Us out. We look forward. We're gonna be promoting all this week. So come see LaVelle. It's gonna be a great show. Tune in.
Yeah,
next
at the pageant
week.
This Saturday.
Y'all.
Yeah. Thank you.
Pageant is.
Peace, peace.
Get Gucci, Louis, Prada. We in the club with a whole lot of models. They look.